Brother John, I'm going to throw you a curveball. Let's go to something a little practical here, okay? And this is going to kind of get right down where the rubber meets the road. I'd love to hear from you too, Brother Jason, on this. Talk about convictions versus preferences. This is such a huge thing. It's becoming more and more of a problem, not being able to delineate between what is a conviction and what is a preference. And specifically what I'm talking about, there's a lot of preferences being preached as doctrine and being held out there as if they are binding even for things like membership and good standing and so on and so forth. Can you talk about that for just a moment, Brother Jason? I'd love to hear you as well.
This is a subject that independent Baptists have messed up over the years. Let me say before I go into what I think about the two, there's a lot of times that we criticize a lot of the old guys for stands that they took that has come to our generation and make no sense. For instance, in the 60s, there was things going on that folks in the church would acquiesce to the Beatles when they came and things, though you hear the wire rim glasses and all these things. Of course, there's nothing wrong with wearing wire rim glasses, but we're not in that world that they understood the church was becoming like the world, and they were preaching against some things. However, the problem with conviction is this: if you do not have a biblical principle, it's very hard to call it a conviction. Preference is something that, of course, I prefer. And by the way, sometimes my preferences are very strong things. There's reasons why I would prefer that. For instance, in the church, we have policies. And you'll look at a policy and say, that's the dumbest policy I've ever seen. Well, you know why most policy is in a church? Because somebody did something that was absolutely stupid, and we've got to answer it. And as the generations go on, it becomes an issue of, well, that's the way we've always done it, and somehow how it morphs to conviction. But conviction has to have a foundation in the Word of God. Upon this, we will not change. I don't like what I'm about to say, but as society and as culture moves, truth is not culturally relevant. That's not what I'm saying. But things that mattered 20 years ago or 40 years ago, we're not dealing with the same things that we're dealing with today. And so as a young man, I heard a great man say this, that a conviction is something you'd die for, and a preference is something that you would not die for. Well, I would define convictions that there are some things that I'm going to argue over. There's some things that are convictions to me that I'm going to argue over, but I'm not going to get into a war over. There are some things I'm going to fight over because they are very, very important, and I'm not going to give them up. Then there are some things that I will die over. When I was years ago, I was asked that question, and I explained that I'm against a man wearing a dress. I really am. I'm against that totally. But if someone walked in today with a big dress and a gun and held it to my head and said, put the dress on or I'm going to blow your brains out, and guess what I'm going to do?
Hope I look good in a dress.
Hope I look good in a dress. All right. So this thing about conviction has been so one-sided in one direction that we're not able to think through what's going on. By the way, in the name of conviction, we have assaulted and destroyed a lot of folks. The other thing about conviction, I think, Brother Brad, it's important, and it's been said in other contexts today, when a person comes in and gets saved, they don't need the whole truckload of convictions at one time.
That's right.
I've said this often, if you don't have convictions, fine, borrow mine till you understand what the Word of God teaches you to do and to do what you know what is right. It becomes your conviction. And which is one of the problems. Most people in Baptist churches are operating on someone else's conviction that's never become theirs. They don't know why. And as you don't know why you believe something and why you're standing on this conviction, it morphs into either something that's, for lack of a better word, very legalistic in its approach, or at some point that person looks at it and says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and they take a left-hand turn and walk away from that which is right. So convictions, I believe that every Christian ought to know what they believe and what their convictions are. There are you know, convictions of dress. There's convictions of where I will go, where I will not go, what I will see, what I will not do. And by the way, let me make sure that we understand this. There are some things. Somebody said, well, I've never been convicted of that. Well, you've never read the Bible either.
Right.
Okay, you don't get to just arbitrarily decide what is a conviction and not. There are some things God's Word doesn't bend on, and if you hadn't got that conviction, it's because you've not been in the Word of God, and thus it becomes the responsibility of men to teach and to preach. And I hope I'm answering what you're asking me here. The issue is this, though. When our convictions excel the Word of God, we have a problem. And when our convictions come with such a anger behind them, and I think that's where we've lost the boat on this over the years, is there's a lot of men that are believe something and they're mad about it. I believe the King James, but I believe in King James only, but I'm not King James ugly. I'm not going to go to war with someone that the war can't be won. I believe in, even when we were talking about apologetics, there's a time to open up a conversation. There's a reason someone's having a problem with this. There's a reason that they're not understanding. Instead of saying, well, bless God, that's the way it is, we need to back up and think that over and have a conversation to explain what that conviction is. Have preferences. It's good to have. But don't try to impose that upon God's people. And I believe that. And by the way, in pastoral and preferences, sometimes in the church, a pastor's preference is what we're going to do. I'm an associate pastor. Do you think that I always agree with everything that the pastor said we're going to do? No, but guess what? It's his preference. Guess what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to do what the preacher said, because that's his preference. You say, well, that's not Bible. I understand, but there's other plays, there's other things that come into play with this. And so don't get bent out of shape out of preference, but make sure that your convictions are something that you actually can stand on. And in fact, make sure that your convictions are convictions and not preferences that you're trying to mandate.
That's great. Brother Jason, I heard the illustration one time that it's kind of like national borders and state borders, if I were to borrow that illustration. National borders, they have to be defended. They have to be supported. They have to be recognized. Otherwise, we lose our national sovereignty. State borders, the state of Florida is being invaded by Yankees all the time. And so we basically are, you know, but nevertheless, we look at them like fellow Americans. They have things that we may not like. They do things that they get in the fast lane and drive slow and all kind of stuff. You know, so state borders, national borders, convictions, preferences. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, being one of those Yankees, I'm glad the borders are open in the state of Florida. So go Buckeyes.
The South will rise again, brother. Yeah. The South will rise again.
However, you know, when you look at these, that's a good way of putting it. I think when we talk about preferences and convictions, everything always has to go back to the Bible. It always has to go back to the Bible. And I think that's where we're having trouble. I think we one of the hardest things about pastoring today is differentiating between culture and commandment. Mm-hmm. What is the culture doing? How does the culture get to dictate preferential types of things? And commandment. I've said this. I've asked this of some of my pastor friends. They don't answer me when I ask them, but I ask them anyway. You know, when we send somebody to the mission field, and we tell them, "Listen, you're going to the Philippines, and you're going to go plant churches." We tell them, "Listen, that church is not going to be an American church. It's going to be a Filipino church. It's going to be filled with Filipinos, so it's going to look different. The worship's going to look a little different." The way that they conduct themselves, the way you reach people may look a little bit different. The gospel's going to stay the same, but it's going to look different. Music may take on a little different flavor, a little different appeal. It's going to look very Filipino. And I said, so, you know, we tell them from the mission standpoint, hey, when you go over there and plant that church, make sure you're not Americanizing it. And there's a lot of nuances that go into that. However, let's say somebody in the Philippines was sending a missionary to America. And they say, hey, listen, when you go over there, you're not planting a Filipino church. You're planting an American church. Now, American culture has a lot of sinful and wicked things in it, just like Filipino culture is. But you're going to have to look beyond those things and understand that that church is going to look very different than the church that's here. I'm not sure that we would be willing to stomach what that cultural church would look like, because we are fighting that battle every day culturally and resisting the change that's taking place within our culture. I think that's because we're still here and we've been here. We have a history. For those that come in without any history, I think they would view it very differently. And I'm not condoning one particular way. I'm just simply saying it kind of gives you a perspective on this matter of preference. Preference versus conviction. You know, the way I always looked at it, you know, you start, you know, your preference, and then, you know, you have biblical principle. Then your biblical principle leads to conviction, and then your convictions lead to standards. So there's a wide array there of, I have a preference. Well, no, I now have a biblical principle. Out of that biblical principle is going to grow my conviction. Out of my conviction, I'm going to establish standards, so I'm not violating the biblical principles. And so you're always constantly evaluating these things. We discuss these issues. You know, we have a fellowship at our church every 6 months called Converge, and we hope to get guys together. For years, it has been. We don't care about our disposition. We only care about our position, and that's bad. We have got to be Christ-like in our disposition as we maintain and hold our position. So in preference, we should give liberty. In conviction, we should have clarity. And in all things, we should have charity. Yeah. So if we have that kind of approach to it, we can have, to me, preference is when you have debate without division. Okay? You're not looking to divide over it. You're going to debate it. You're going to talk about it. There are doctrinal things, even doctrinal things, that we should debate without dividing over. I mean, even doctrinal things. I mean, you don't make how your church observe. There are nuances of baptism, you know, how a church may accept a membership, or whether they separate the two, or how they particularly, whether they teach somebody to before they get baptized them and disciple them, or whether they baptize them and then disciple them. There are issues of communion we talked about who you allow to observe communion in your church. There are a lot of even doctrinal issues that we should be congenial towards one another and open to dialogue and talk about and accept and laugh and not divide over. And I think sometimes we're more charitable towards some of those issues than we are the preferential cultural issues that we have going on. We are so dogmatic in some of these areas. Listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. I have to catch myself and rein myself back in before I just, like a dog, go after it and want to chew on somebody's leg.